Welcome to the Payments and Cards Network podcast. Thanks very much for tuning into the show. This week on the show, we had Kieran O'Malley. Kieran is Head of Commercial Strategy at Trustly. Trustly doesn't need much introduction in Europe. It's been growing like crazy all across the continent and in the UK. It's just started expanding in the US as well. Very exciting company. Kieran, amongst other things, is an expert on PSD2. He talks about all of the advantages that this EU regulation is having on the fintech industry and all the fantastic and novel ways Trustly are taking advantage of it to their merchants' benefit. So without further ado, I give you Kieran O'Malley of Trustly. Okay, today on the show we have Kieran O'Malley. He is Head of Commercial Strategy at Trustly. Kieran, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Lewis. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Thanks for being here. We'll start where we start most of these podcasts, Kieran. Do you mind just giving our audience an introduction of yourself and telling us a little bit about what it is you do for Trustly?
Sure. So as Head of Commercial Strategy at Trustly, I like to say my team kind of looks at what should we sell, where should we sell it, and how should we sell it. In terms of what should we sell, we try and look at bringing merchant feedback into our product organization, who can then create solutions. Where should we sell it? We try and look for opportunities within different markets and particularly around merchant country fit. And then how should we sell it is about our value proposition and how we convert what our product does into value for our merchants that can understand. So that's a little bit on what my team is. There's around 10 of us in the team. And personally, I joined Trustly 3.5 years ago. Prior to that, I worked in investment banking, mergers and acquisitions, and derivatives as well.
Did you find that history in derivatives and M&A a good run-up to being in the payments fintech industry?
Yeah, it's really interesting, actually. I think probably the piece of experience that's been most useful to me was I was involved in the CRD4 transition. Now, for those of you who aren't aware, that was the derivatives regulation after the financial crisis and bank capital and all of this kind of fun stuff. And it really showed me how difficult it is to do IT migration projects in banks, which has obviously been quite useful having being at Trustly and working in the kind of PSD2 transition world.
Yes, and we'll definitely dig into PSD2 in a moment. Maybe for the benefit of some of our American listeners, could you just give us a kind of a bird's eye view of Trustly, a bit about the company history and what more broadly it actually offers?
Of course. Trustly is one of these businesses that is very large, but perhaps doesn't have the same PR footprint as some of our noisier competitors in the industry. So we were founded in 2008. We've been doing bank payments since then, starting with a payout product. So you could get money off your e-wallet or similar, which was a real pain point in the industry at the time. I think still is. And then we launched this payment initiation service to allow customers to be able to buy things from merchants with an improved user experience. In terms of size, the business is on for a run rate of around 100 million transactions per year. And we serve about 4,500 merchants, predominantly through partners, so gateways and acquirers. And there are 350 of us now, mostly in Sweden, our headquarters, but we have offices in Finland, Malta, UK, Germany, a small one in Spain. And for the American listeners, we're really proud to be able to say we now have an American arm to the business. We merged with a business called Pay With My Bank, doing great things in the US market. And the kind of the vision of the two companies matched, and we decided to join forces.
That is exciting. Congratulations on that new American growth. It sounds like Trustly is growing all over. Just how important are partnerships, payments partnerships to Trustly? I've seen that your partners with some of the previous guests on this show, companies like PPRO, Ingenico, Acapture. How does Trustly work through and depend on partners like this?
So to be honest, this aspect is probably what I find most interesting about the payment space, these partnerships. And you know, this is going to be a gross simplification, but the way I look at it is that the partners have already gone out there and built merchant relationships, and they've kind of built the infrastructure and they're servicing the market well. Now, we think that Trustly and our payment method is going to improve the sort of payments experience of consumers and merchants. And we need to work with partners to prove our value to them so they can then deliver our proposition to their merchants. Now, you mentioned PPRO. PPRO is a really interesting example because obviously they are then selling on to partners themselves. So we need PPRO to understand our value, then for them to be able to communicate it with us to acquirers and gateways, and then on to merchants. So it's a really fascinating one. We fundamentally see our future as a partnerships-led business. In the past, we have, and we do continue to have direct merchant relationships, and those can be really strong relationships, and the direct integrations have their use, but the future is really with partners.
Absolutely. Expanding on that, could you give us a shorthand definition or summary of PSD2, the Payment Service Directive, again, maybe for the benefit of some of our non-European-based listeners?
Yeah, that's a really interesting one. It's something that I get asked all the time, and we'll come to that, but we've been hiring a lot of people recently, and the level of acronyms that they have to master to be able to get up to speed is quite frightening, actually. So on PSD2, I look at it as having kind of three main pillars. The first is around how do we make card transactions more secure and try and reduce the card not present fraud. So that is the SCA, so basically a two-factor authentication on a card payment beyond a certain size. And that's obviously been a massive change, and something which is being delayed a little bit. But then there's two areas which I think are more, setting a platform for new innovation. So the first of those is the account information services. Now that's the sort of personal money management businesses where I can have one app that aggregates all my transactions. Now, in doing that, there was a bit of gray area in the market prior to PSD2. And what PSD2 does or aims to do is to set the rules of how those businesses should operate with the banks and with their customers so that customers get a great solution, but they also are protected. And then the final one is the payment initiation services. And this is the part of the market we operate in. I think the least understood, to be quite honest. So currently, we have bank transfers as an alternative payment method. But the standard bank transfer, to be quite honest, isn't a great user experience. So businesses like Trustly and so forth created these overlay experiences where you could make a bank transfer. You didn't have to leave the merchant environment. They kind of did it on your behalf. And again, I think the Europeans saw this and thought this is a great place for innovation and new payments, but let's just make sure that this is done in the right way. So what PSD2 does for us is it outlines the rules of the game and tries to set down some principles for how that should work. So I realised I've covered quite a bit there, but if there's any way you think we should discuss in more detail.
Sure. I know that you're a PSD2 expert at Trustly, amongst other responsibilities you hold there. What is the advantage to fintechs for having a PSD2 expert employed? A lot of companies still don't have ones. I think that ones that do have a definite advantage having at least one person, if not a small team, that really has that subject matter expertise. Why do you think it's important for payments companies like Trustly to have at least one or more persons in-house who really understand the depth and breadth of this directive?
Well, I'm going to be honest. Within Trustly, we have a huge amount of PSD2 experience. I think it's probably one of our main competitive advantages and one of the main things that we can help our partners with. To be kind of going into a bit of detail on this, Oscar Berglund, our CEO, was one of the key driving forces behind PSD2. So obviously a lot of people came together and there's a lot of industry expertise, but Oscar's been really vocal and sort of strong with his contributions to the European level. We then have product managers who are specialists on PSD2 integrations. We have a specialist in Brussels, Jorn Jacob, who is constantly feeling the sort of the mood on the ground and really understand the detail of not only how the legislation works, but also how to get things done. Now, and you know, I'm skipping others in our legal team where we have a huge amount of specialized knowledge. You know, to your question, why is that important? Well, you know, I talked about the high level principles there, but these things are very difficult to translate into reality. The complexity of the payments market is, you know, unbelievable. And I'm sure anyone listening to this will have their own area where they see that complexity. And so translating high level principles into detailed instructions, the RTS, or regulatory technical standards, that's a really difficult task. And it's a very technology led task. You know, it's not a case of setting down broad laws, it's about, and it's got to the case where they're talking about technology solutions. Now, some of those solutions are the right ones. Some of them we think perhaps haven't been thought through brilliantly. And so we need all of this expertise to be able to put across our points to the regulators at a European and national level, but also to be able to understand what does this really mean for us and our business model. And then our kind of, you know, what I'm really proud of about Trustly is how we take things that could be problems for us where perhaps standards haven't gone the way we think they should, and move around those to deliver the great customer outcomes with, but still being compliant with what the legislation says. So again, to recap on your point, there's a huge amount of movement in the industry still, even though it does appear that the laws are set, there's actually still iteration going on. So you need someone or a group of people to be able to manage that. And then you need the people on the inside to say, okay, how do we really use this to deliver great customer outcomes?
So on that final point, delivering great customer outcomes, what are the benefits to the customer or consumer under the PSD2 framework? And how is Trustly taking advantage of this new framework?
So again, the way I look at PSD2 is it's a platform, not a product. And I think this is kind of quite often confused in some of the industry language. It's a platform to create a whole range of different products. On our small side, on the PIS side, you know, fundamentally, to make a bank payment or to make any kind of debit transaction, you need to be able to prove who you are and that you have balance in your account. You know, that's the core aspect. And then those funds need to be transferred. And what we can do with the bank payment rails that are being opened up to us via PSD2, or at least being clarified how we operate with them, is we can create customer experiences for debit transactions where they have one or two fingerprints, minimal data entry, they're highly secure, and then we can deliver faster settlement of funds, which, you know, that we can talk about additional added services on top, but fundamentally, I believe that customers just want a really smooth, reliable way to pay that they're not going to get caught with fraud later on. So that's the core vision of the customer outcome.
And the same question, but for your merchants, why is PSD2 a good thing for the merchants, the sellers, and how is Trustly taking advantage of that?
Hey, this is Jonathan from Block Data. FYI, 40% of big companies will invest at least $5 million into blockchain initiatives this year. Block Data helps these companies understand what's going on through market intelligence on the blockchain ecosystem. If you'd like to find out more, just Google Block Data.
So from a merchant perspective, I think if I run any type of business, and I'm sure everyone can relate to this, I want to have some redundancy. I want to be able to offer different solutions that do largely similar things that customers can have a good experience using. How is that relevant? Well, currently the debit rails via cards are really the only option for debit transactions. Whilst you do have the e-wallets and some of those have been extremely successful, a lot of what they do is based on these card rails. And so for a merchant with someone like Trustly, they can offer a different payment method that has a similar outcome, but a different customer experience, and they get that redundancy of offer. And then on top of that, we believe and we see that customers are starting to shift away in Europe, country by country, from card to bank payments. We've seen, obviously, you're based in Amsterdam and Ideal has been a huge success. We see it across in Finland. We see it, obviously, in Sweden, one of our core markets and the like, where the bank payment experience is something that consumers are actually actively looking for. And if a customer is actively looking for it, a merchant needs to offer it. So that's on the kind of merchant offering side to a consumer. But there's also on the other side of this, that a mixture of PSD2 and our product innovation allows us to deliver funds faster to the merchant. And the faster they can receive those funds, the more they can do with them. Now, just a final point on that, we obviously work through partners. So partners ultimately decide on the merchant settlement. But what Trustly and what we've built on top of BSD2 gives you as a partner greater control over that. If you're receiving the funds into your accounts faster, then you can offer a differentiated service to your merchants.
That's great. Where do refunds come into this? I mean, how does open banking change consumer and merchant experience of being refunded? Does it provide for more protection, more flexibility?
It's a really interesting one. To go on to refunds, we can't undermine the importance of refunds. It's a little bit of a difficult area because merchants don't really want refunds, to be honest. They want people to keep the goods that they have. And so it's a tough area. It's currently solved via cards with varying degrees of speed. And the solution sort of works, right? People do get refunded, even though it may take between sort of 2 to 5 days in many cases. Now, to your point on PSD2, PSD2 is actually quite silent on this. Mm. And it's really quite interesting. It's something that we've seen go live. Most of the sort of proof of concepts that have gone live don't actually have support for refunds, which you think is a gross oversight. And the APIs themselves, or the way we interact via PSD2, again, doesn't really define these things. So that's a challenge. It's a challenge that we've solved outside of the direct PSD2 framework. We offer these instant refunds that we can talk about later. It's something that we've built on top. In terms of the experience today, we can see that a lot of the proof of concepts are kind of struggling with how they deliver their refunds.
It's a naturally friction-filled area. People don't want to make a sale and then take a refund. It's cumbersome, but it needs must. Why do you think the directive left that out or left it vague? That seems odd to me that it didn't take the opportunity to at least try to comprehensively cover refunds.
Yeah, it's a really tough one. You're pretty bang on there with the point. It seems really obvious to us now. I think we have to give the sort of legislators a little bit of, cut them a bit of slack. They were trying to do a huge amount of work in quite a short period of time. But yeah, it's something that has to be solved. I think I'm quite involved with the UK Open Banking side. There we can see that they have taken our feedback and the feedback of others and are trying to create a new standard to try to handle these refunds. But there's so many different ways of doing it. And we hope that they provide the sort of the greatest flexibility to providers like Trustly to build our own experiences. And this goes back to my point around PSD2 and the APIs and the and modified customer interface. It provides a platform for us to build different experiences. Now, I realize I'm kind of dodging around the question. On the Trustly side particularly, we have our unique instant refund product.
Yes.
So what we do is a little bit different. Currently, and if we take it back a couple of stages, the APIs cover part of the banking market. There's also the modified customer interface, which is where providers like Trustly use the website that the customer uses, but we notify ourselves. And that's kind of seen as where the technology providers for payment initiations will stop. They either offer APIs or they offer APIs plus what is another acronym, the MCI. But what Trustly does is different. So we have that layer and we have a lot of experience in that layer, but we also receive the funds when they've been initiated. So they aren't sent direct to a merchant, they're sent to our account. And that allows us to build these additional value add services. So again, how is this relevant? Well, when it comes to refunds, the money is sitting in our balance, or some of the funds at least, a reserve. So when a consumer requires a refund, they make the request with the merchant. The merchant can very simply ping our API and we send funds locally to that consumer's account. So because of our expertise with instant payment networks and our local bank network, which is extensive, we're able to get those funds from a merchant, please pay this refund, to a consumer, in many cases in sub 15 minutes. And that's a real value add service, which we can only deliver because we collect funds locally. We don't settle immediately to the merchant.
Like it. I'm going to jump around a little bit here, Kieran. I hope you don't mind, but it's clear you're a bit of an encyclopedia when it comes to this stuff. Could you just kind of elaborate for our listeners, what is the difference between a payment initiation only provider and a full service provider?
Yeah, and that actually, again, really important distinction, and that's kind of what we were sort of going on to a bit here through the eyes of a refund. A payment initiation provider, I like to think, is a bit like it's a little bit like the difference between tying a message to an arrow and sort of firing it from a bow and having a courier. So the payment initiation service initiates the payment, so pulls back the bow, fires the arrow, but doesn't necessarily know where it lands. And the money is transferred from the consumer's account to a merchant account, but the third party, the payment initiation service, doesn't really have sight of what happens to that money. Whereas the full service that Trustly offers with this initiate and collect is a little bit more like a recorded delivery courier. You pass them the message, they drive, they deliver it, they come back again, you know exactly where the funds are. And that allows us to build all of these value-add services on top. Again, we talked about refunds that we can offer because we receive. There's also reconciliation and lots of other things we can go into as well.
Trustly is able to offer its services pretty agnostically across merchant verticals. You've got merchants in e-commerce, travel, financial services, iGaming. Tell us about some of the differences between those verticals. Are some of them easier to work with than others? Do some pose particular challenges? Does Trustly have a preference over certain merchant verticals than others?
Yeah, look, again, great question. That's what keeps me in a job, to be honest, this challenge. Obviously, each merchant is trying to satisfy the needs of customers in a different way. And that means they need different things from payments. One of the great things here, though, is that fundamentally moving money from one account to another account kind of stays the same. So we offer different or slightly differentiated services to the different types of merchants. We don't see why we can't grow in all of them. And that's why we have specialist sales and account teams addressing all of those different verticals. In terms of why are they different, they have different needs. If I'm an e-commerce provider, I want a confirmation of funds, similar to an authorization, as quickly as possible so that I can get on with shipping and delivering the service that I'm providing, whether that be, again, a physical good that needs to get into a logistics system and sent, or digital content. Whereas on the other hand, if you're an investment company, actually what I care about there is not so much the confirmation of funds, but the actual settlement, because I need my consumer to be able to place his trade and use those funds quickly. So there are subtle differences between the different verticals. Now, we kind of think that if we can deliver the funds immediately, as quickly as possible, we can solve a lot of those. But again, it's more a case of highlighting different areas of value to our different merchants. Another example, we've been talking about refunds. A lot of businesses that we service, e-wallets and the like, don't really think of things as a refund. They want a payout of funds. And that's a slightly different user experience, similar rails underneath it, but a different user experience. The user is used, in many cases, able to log on to through our iframe and make the request, whereas a refund is typically handled by the merchant. So there's differences. You mentioned the iGaming space. Mm-hmm. We have built a sort of innovation on top of our payments layer for that, where we use some of the identity that's available to us through the bank account to remove some of the friction. You know, it's the way I look at this, it's called our pay and play product, is it's not about changing what happens in the user flow. The user still has to go to a website, register and pay. That still happens with our pay and play flow, but we just make it easier and more robust. So we take information that the consumer's provided to us via their bank account, and we provide that onto our iGaming merchants, so they have accurate, reliable information to know who they're dealing with. So, you know, that's a real clear case. I think before you sort of cut me off for talking too much, I will just talk about our e-com solution called Pay Your Invoice.
Sure.
So Pay Your Invoice is something I'm extremely excited about. Again, it's another one of these tweaks to our product to deliver a better solution for a vertical. And in e-commerce, a lot of consumers want to use an invoice. And a lot of e-commerce partners, so PSPs, collecting banks, factoring banks, provide a service, but then the consumer has a kind of a difficult experience when they go to actually settle the invoice. Typically, they have to do a bank transfer and they use reference codes and all sorts of problems crop up there. So we have adjusted our service to allow Trustly payments to be used to settle invoices, and we handle the reference code reconciliation in the background. And, you know, it's not a enormous change to our product, but it's just done in the right way that satisfies a need for that in that e-commerce space.
I love it. So many great solutions. Trustly is growing like crazy. I think I just done a quick cursory search at some of your headcount numbers. I think you've gone from 100 to 300, well over 300 in the last 2 or 3 years. What's next for the company in terms of growth? You're just going to continue to open new offices internationally, look at new products and services. What do the next couple of years look like for Trustly?
Well, I think the great thing is that the payments market is so enormous and so diverse. Yeah, if you look at our industry is so, again, in terms of the industry players are so diverse because there's such diverse needs out there in the economy. And Trustly, we believe that we have, or we not only believe, but we can see that we have a great solution for our merchants that's differentiated with this initiate and collect versus the initiate only. And we just need to satisfy that demand. And that demand means, as you say, rolling out into new countries, offering a sort of, in many cases, slightly tweaked service to hit particular merchant requirements. But, you know, there's a lot we are under-distributed in our core markets today. Yeah, it's a real challenge for a company like ourselves. We're trying to distribute as broadly as we can to make sure that all merchants that can benefit from our service do. And again, you mentioned earlier about the importance of partners. That's where partners are so important to us in terms of how we distribute out. Now, going back to your exact question in terms of people, you know, we can't hire quick enough. Mm-hmm. We see we have this solution to a big problem in the market, and we need to get enough boots on the ground to be able to really deliver it. As I'm sure you can all imagine, that sometimes is challenging, but it's nice to have those kind of good problems, if you know what I mean.
It's one of the best problems to have. Can't hire quick enough. Can't find enough of the right kinds of people. How do you do talent? What are some of the trickier positions you're finding to fill? Are there certain skills that are kind of lacking in the market? Are the universities not putting out the right sorts of skill sets at the moment? Tell us a little bit about some of your talent acquisition kind of bottlenecks at present.
Yeah, it's a really interesting one. I think I don't think these will be surprising to the whole industry, but it's really tough to find great product managers. We have a very high standard internally already, and there are lots of fantastic product managers out there, but you know, everyone knows that they're great, and trying to prize them off competitors is pretty challenging. I think the fact that the industry is in such change at the moment through PSD2, there's only a very small number of people who really understand the depths of bank payments and particularly parent initiation. So they just, you know, the universities can't produce people who have that level of experience. It's professional experience, and it's very cutting edge. So there's a lot of great raw material out there, and maybe that's a little bit of a harsh way to put it, but there's lots of extremely intelligent people who are keen and want to work. But actually finding people who have the experience, well, by the very nature of us doing something quite unique, there aren't that many people out there. So that's tough, and we just need to get better at bringing in people who we believe have talent and have the sort of drive, and educating them internally. So that's sort of one way you get over this challenge of finding the right people. From my side in the commercial team, obviously we need the right salespeople, account managers, and in my team, sort of strategy people, as well as sort of, we call them business specialists. They're a sort of technical solutions team. Again, you know, the same problem. People haven't necessarily got the exact experience, but that's where we need to hire people who are talented and driven. So it's a tough one. It is a really tough one. You know, going directly to your question, we have bottlenecks everywhere. So it's, again, I've mentioned it as a good problem. When I was in banking, I was sort of, you know, part of the industry when it was in sort of serial decline. And every month we sort of worried about, did we have enough revenue to be able to be able to sort of support the team we have. Whereas now we're in the opposite situation at Trustly. It's how can we get the best people as quickly as possible.
That's fantastic. That's a very positive note for us to end on. So talented individuals out there, payments managers in the merchant community, who should they reach out to find out more about yourself and Trustly?
I think reach out to someone on LinkedIn who's in the functional role. Our HR team are great, and obviously if you want to go down that route, but personally, I like the idea of getting a bit of a flavor from someone who's doing a similar role to what you kind of want to. And then when you come to us from a HR perspective and maybe start a more formal process, you have a bit more of a feel for how the day-to-day operations are. And hopefully when you come to that stage, you have a little bit more of a conviction, because you really know that this is the right place for you. And obviously, I'm always open to have these kinds of discussions.
Brilliant. Okay, well, Kieran, this has been a very insightful podcast. Thank you for all your knowledge on PSD2 and a bit of a deep dive on what Trustly is bringing to the market. So that's Kieran O'Malley, Head of Commercial and PSD2 Expert for Trustly. Kieran, thank you very much for being on the show.
Again, thank you very much for having me, Lewis. It's been a pleasure.
Okay, until next time.
Goodbye.
The Payments and Cards Network podcast is brought to you by our friends and sponsors, Payvision. Payvision, when it comes to payments, they don't mess around. They live and breathe payments processing, from design and integration to delivery and checkout and everything in between. Check out payvision.com. We are also brought to you by Block Data. Block Data is an Amsterdam-based cryptocurrency research firm. They help investors get involved in the world of cryptocurrency safely and securely. Check out blockdata.tech for more information about them. Thanks for joining today's show. We'll see you again next time.